Hey everyone, this is Scott from DVC-Rental.com. As you know, we're your go-to place for all Disney travel, and if you've ever thought of taking a beach holiday, make sure you also look into us as we have Disney's Vero Beach, which is on the Atlantic down in Florida, or we also have Disney's Hilton Head Resort in South Carolina. Again, that's DVC-Rental.com.
Welcome to the WW Review Royal Court News Review Show. This is Jen Bachman, and I am here with my lovely co-hosts, Cindy Ellicott, Jenny Berger, and Cassandra Callahan. Hi, ladies.
Hey, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hey.
I know we have not been together in a little bit, so let's go ahead and start this episode by talking about what's going on in your life. What's new with you?
All right. So I'll go first. My husband and I, Chris, not Malik, let's make that very clear, are getting ready to go on an adults-only trip to Disney World to kick off Flower and Garden Festival. So we're really excited about that.
Ooh, where are you staying, Jenny?
Riviera.
Oh, that'll be awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. So we're very, very excited. No kids and I mean, it's just a long weekend, but it's going to be fantastic not having to, you know, cart them around.
So. Yes, that sounds awesome.
I agree.
Yeah.
How about you, Cindy?
That's pretty awesome to hear. I did say that we do need another baby in Epcot, so just so you know.
Not it.
If you're there and, you know.
Well, that would be a new show, wouldn't it?
Okay. What's good in my life? Well, tomorrow's our last day of cold weather here. We've been in the minus 40s for 10 days now. So tomorrow is supposed to shape up and get us to about minus 12, which is, you know, in the minus 18 or no, in the 18 range for Fahrenheit.
Okay.
So, not terrible, but it's going to be much nicer. That's one thing that's going on. The other thing is Friday, March. Now I can't remember the exact date. 10th, I think, is the Friday. I will be representing our company at the Open Door Society's Inclusivity Gala in Saskatoon. So I will be going shopping for a nice outfit and looking forward to attending a lovely gala in the city for the weekend.
That sounds lovely. Cindy,
yeah.
I need to go back to your, this is our last cold weather day. And then you stated some pretty low temps for those of us who live in the Southern United States and probably the Northern United States as well. So well, I have to know, what is warm weather for you? Like, what's your threshold for that? Is it 18 degrees Fahrenheit?
Yeah, around there would be.
That's balmy. Like you need
like anything above zero, we celebrate here.
Oh wow!
So if it's one or two Fahrenheit and it's minus 20 here, we're actually pretty good with that. Like my vehicle will start without being plugged in at minus 20.
Oh wow!
So, which is about zero Fahrenheit. So I'm good with that. So that makes it a lot easier.
I'm in Tennessee and I was upset this weekend because it was in the 50s and I don't like to go out under 60. So we have very different climates.
And cold thresholds for sure.
Yes.
Yeah. It's in the 60s here right now. And we were complaining that it's cold. Yeah. Like my husband went outside to change the oil in his truck and he couldn't wait to come back in.
So we just had the Great Canadian Sled Dog Challenge just north of us here was ran Thursday through Saturday of this week. And so, I mean, the dogs were bedding down and everybody was out there racing on the tracks. They were averaging about 100 and some miles a day at minus 45 with their dogs on the trails. So, and everybody came in good and in good shape. So had a local winner, somebody we're friends with. So that was great.
That sounds like something I'd want to see, but maybe from the comfort of like a heated room.
Actually, it's better to be cold for the dogs. If it's too warm, it's harder on them for running.
Oh, for sure.
Cold weather, that's what they're prepared for. They got good coats and of course they got boots and their jackets on and stuff, but
they've got like little doggy boots.
Yeah.
Oh gosh. All right. So what is good in my life? I had to, you know, it took me a moment, but I realized the ladies that I'm speaking with right now, this is what's good in my life. One, it took us about 20 minutes to get our act together before we started recording because we were cutting up. And then I had the pleasure of seeing two of my three ladies over this past week. And then I get to see the other one, Jenny, in about 34 days. So very, very fortunate. So you ladies are good in my life.
We feel the same.
Yes, yep. Absolutely. Yeah. Cassandra, you kind of stole my answer. That's okay. We could have like mutual appreciation here. Okay. That works better.
Aww, I love it.
We just got back from a quick trip for my family, and then I stayed a few extra days, but we got to spend some time with some Edcot friends, including Cassandra and family. And it was really fun to see our kids form little sweet friendships.
Yeah.
So that was great. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, I know we've got a lot of news. Jenny, do you want to kick us off today?
Sure.
I just interrupt for 2 seconds, though, and just mention that something that's good in all of our lives is with the Dubs 400th show coming up. I think that we're all pretty excited about that. It's going to be fantastic. And a lot of us have been there for a lot of the shows. So it's a huge achievement for Chris and Stacy and the other hosts that were part of it along the way. But for us as listeners and part of the Edcot group, this is huge. And just stay listening for it. It's going to be an exciting show with some great interviews and some giveaways and just a lot of fun that we usually have on the podcasts.
Cindy, I am so glad you jumped in with that. I was just like feeling all the love for my co-hosts and wasn't thinking, but I think that's really what this show has become for so many of us. So to your point, so excited to see a 400th episode coming up and just all the blood, sweat, and tears and love that's been poured into the show to get to this point. So I know we've got a new logo coming out, which we're excited to see. And yeah, we're kudos to Stacy and Chris and everyone that makes this show possible.
Absolutely. It's a huge achievement. And it's something I think everyone should be proud of, you know, especially Stacy and Chris. But all right. So kicking off the news segment, big news coming out of Disney Cruise Line for Castaway Club members. In honor of their anniversary, the words are escaping me now.
The 25th.
Yes, the 25th. Yes, I forget what they're calling it, though, but it's like some kind of 25th anniversary. They are introducing a new Pearl level for anyone that has sailed at least 25 sailings with Disney Cruise Line. So up until now, they had three levels, silver, gold, and platinum. Silver, as soon as you sailed once, you immediately become a Castaway Club member. Gold is after you've completed 5 sailings. Platinum is after 10. And this new Pearl is after 25 sailings. And with each level, there are perks that come with it. And the higher levels get all the perks from the lower levels, plus something additional. In the case of Pearl, they are now going to be getting complimentary digital downloads for their sailings, which, I mean, that's really nice. And those pictures can cost a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
Early booking for new itineraries 4 days before the public. and early access to onboard and onshore activity bookings at 123 days before other Castaway Club tiers. So really exciting for those members that have, you know, really sailed a lot with Disney Cruise Line to get some extra perks.
Yeah. I have a long way to go. I'm still trying to reach gold. Yep.
I think that's great that they're acknowledging those that are really loyal to that cruise line. You know, part of me wants to say, if you can afford 25 sailings, you could probably afford the photo package, but that's nice that they're getting it.
That's true. But Gina,
that's so valid.
There's been like some kind of controversy or like shade thrown around for years about the whole Castaway Club and tiers, because it's always been the amount of sailings, not the amount of days.
Right.
So people that are doing like the 2-3 night sailings were shooting up the ladder in membership, where people that do the longer sailings and spending a lot more money were basically feeling like they should be entitled to more perks than the people doing like the mini trips. So it's been a big argument for a while in like the cruise community.
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't think I realized that. Royal Caribbean does it the other way. So that's per nights versus per sailing. So that's interesting that it's different.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I just found my note. It's in honor of their silver anniversary, which was throwing me off. Sorry. Kids chose now to start fighting. And it's their silver anniversary, but the silver tier is like their lowest club level. That's why it was like kind of throwing me off. But, all right, Cindy, what do you have?
Well, as you know, we love Disney Springs. So I saw the notice that, and Earl of Sandwich is one of our favorite places, quick service places, to grab something while we're there. And I noticed that they're opening a tavern. So Earl of Sandwich moved to where the, the La Brea Bakery was. And Earl of Sandwich moved there. And now the Earl of Sandwich Tavern is going to be opening soon. It just says spring of 2023. And it'll be a table service restaurant. And I took a look at the menu. And there's some kind of nice things on there. Like there's a prime rib for $14. So under the entrees, there's sesame ginger salmon. There's fish tacos, fish and chips, roasted prime rib of beef. And that's $38. Oh, never mind.
new bosses. Castaway, you can get
and get them. But honestly, that's not a bad price anyway for a table service restaurant for a nice prime rib. So it'll be interesting to check out and see how much difference there is in the level of food between there and the quick service, I think. So we're looking forward to that one, and hopefully we'll be open for when we're there in July.
Very good.
Yeah, I had no idea that was coming. So that's news to me, Cindy. So I was going to talk about the biggest news from Disney's first 2023 earnings call. So I believe it was on February 8th. They reported that revenues for the quarter of, last quarter grew 8%. Also, just going over a few highlights, Disney will cut 7,000 jobs from its global workforce as the company reorganizes. The layoffs are in a cost-cutting effort to streamline and reorganize the company's operations. So that's a little bit of a salty subject. But I think what they're trying to do is, obviously, they're trying to save the company money, but maybe not duplicate these jobs that are in place. I think there's going to be a lot of focus on entertainment. Another highlight was park capacity has been reduced by 20% during peak periods compared to pre-pandemic levels. So while the park's reservation system is not loved by many, Iger pointed out that it is helping Disney to improve the guest experience and that the company is focused on delivering a better guest experience going forward. So I think I duplicated that. So guest experience, y'all. So then it was kind of like bombshelled announced that an Avatar-themed experience is coming to Disneyland Resort. They did not announce any firm details on that. So that was kind of dropped on everybody, I believe. So that was big news out of that call. And also that film sequels are in the works for Toy Story, Frozen, and Zootopia. So that was on that first quarter call.
How many end of franchise Toy Story films?
Toy Story's like, yeah, I think they should. Yeah, I really think we should lay that one to rest, but that's just me personally.
I mean, Toy Story 4 was not a movie that needed to be made. I watched it, but but that was like really like, okay, now Woody's not even interested in being a toy anymore. Like, I don't even know.
I think we're done here, like, right? Woody's done. Okay. Woody's out.
Yeah. So, like, their ability to keep tapping into this franchise is very much to me like, why do they make Sharknado 2? Right? Like, what is going to happen at this point?
And I think they're up to Sharknado 6 now.
Are they?
I think so.
So we're getting on the Land Before Time level, aren't we?
I still have trauma from that Land Before Time when that little dinosaur looks in that leaf and cries and sees his reflection in the tear. Oh, y'all.
So, Frozen, like, I really wish they wouldn't. I do like Frozen a lot, but like, it's just going to start watering it down. Like, please just stop at 3. If you're going to make another one, stop at 3. And I mean, I'm excited about Zootopia. I think, in fact, we had that playing on in the living room right now. So, but
I just like to see new ideas and new IP. And some of these, like, we're just,
I think the struggle bus is currently with their new IP, though. I mean, like Strange Worlds and, well, not that Buzz Lightyear was new IP, but like, I think they're going to their fail safes.
Yeah, but I mean, like Coco and Encanto, like
That's what
Love Coco.
Yeah, Moana. I mean, obviously not that new, but
Interesting. Okay. Well, even though apparently they're cutting 7,000 jobs, we are seeing some enhancements to guest experience in an effort to return to kind of more pre-pandemic status quo. So, by the end of February, full mousekeeping room cleanings will return to all the resorts. So one thing, though, that I noticed, if you kind of read through this news clip, that was different and kind of they buried the lead here, is deluxe resorts are receiving daily housekeeping again, but moderate and values are now the standard is every other day, which I,
I did not know that.
I didn't pick up on that.
Because deluxe went back to every day, like a month ago?
Yeah, in January.
So then when they announced that full housekeeping was returning, I just assumed that that meant moderate and value were coming back as every day.
Yeah, the way they worded it was very tricky. It was basically per day or every other day, depending on the resort. And then when I dug a little deeper, it appears to be that value and moderates are every other day. And I was a little surprised that they would do that actually in the moderate category. Like if they were going to do it, okay. I mean, I think they should just return to every day, but...
Yeah.
You know, because values.
I see both sides. I mean, I get both sides.
Yeah.
You know, but still.
But the price point lately between like Pop and Caribbean Beach is not that different. Mm-mm. It's just not. So I don't know. But that was interesting to me. So they will do full cleanings, but depending on the resort you stay at, the category of the resort, you'll either get that every day or every other day. And then one thing I noticed as well on a recent trip is just the amount of photo pass photographers that seem to be back in the parks. I think I got used to at least, you know, they were on Main Street and then that was kind of it. You would find like a rogue one every now and then. But on this most recent trip, I saw several and I actually asked about it. But one of the changes they've made is that they've changed their uniform or costume. I don't know the appropriate term for what the cast members wear, but it went from like this khaki color to this bright green. And so when I asked about it and said, hey, are there more PhotoPass photographers now? The photographer I asked said, well, I think you could just see us better now, which is true, but I'm fairly certain I wasn't missing everybody else before. So that's one thing to look at. Now they'll be very visible in that bright green and hopefully in more locations so you could take advantage of them.
That is going to be nice. Because I do think sometimes it was kind of hard to immediately mm-hmm. spot them.
Yeah.
All right. So speaking of deluxe resorts, beginning March 11th, the Boardwalk Inn Concierge Lounge is going to be closed for refurbishment. They haven't given an exact date that it's going to be back up. They're just saying end of April. Mm-hmm. Again, this is on the inside, not the villa side, and it's their concierge lounge. They are saying that you will be able to hear the refurbishment work during the day, but at night when you're in your guest room and the surrounding area, you should not be hearing any audible noise. No real details as to what that refurb is going to look like. I know they just went through another one where they got rid of Dundry Sundries and now they've got in that coffee shop. Cassandra's given the thumbs up. I know she had stopped there
for I did.
Coffee one morning.
Yep.
I was a little disappointed in the online pictures of like the decor of that coffee shop. But I mean, if the coffee is good, I'm willing to adjust.
Right. I'll just say it was super convenient because we weren't far from the lobby. I didn't have enough creamer or sugar in my room. And so I literally just hopped down two floors and where the sundries with just the smallest little shop that really didn't carry much. And now it's just a little walk-in cafe. So it makes a lot of sense to me, but I can understand from the, you know, the original pictures, it didn't have any charm and they've kind of added a little bit to it. A lot of, but it was hopping. So it's definitely, I think it's doing much better than that little sundry shop was.
Well, that's good. I do have a soft spot from the sundry shop just for the nostalgia piece, but I agree. Like they didn't really have anything in there. And the fact that you were near the lobby, that alone, it's worth its weight in gold because if you get, there's some long hallways at Boardwalk.
There are. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
Well, and I know they're doing room refurbishments too. So I'm wondering if the lounge is being redone to match more of whatever styles going into the room refurbs. But I think they're moving to those like raised beds that we've seen at, you know, the Riviera has them. Polly now has them.
So that you can put your
suitcases underneath.
Which is nice. It helps save space. It's really convenient.
Yeah.
Yes. But did you guys see the pictures of the Boulder Ridge rooms that they've redone?
Yep.
I was surprised they still stuck with carpet in those because the standard lately has been, you know, that laminate floor and those have carpet still.
I don't think I'd realize that.
Yeah, I didn't pick up on that either, but that's a good point.
Yeah. So Boardwalk and Beach Club are both undergoing that refurbishment. So that's pretty exciting.
Yeah. So. We'll have lots of new stuff to
to
try out.
Yeah. Let's take a trip, y'all. All right.
So I'll continue on with some restaurant news then in that Trails End, the barbecue style restaurant at Fort Wilderness at the campgrounds there is going to be closing as a table service restaurant spring of 2023. And it's going to be refurbished to become a quick service marketplace type grab and go market, which I think is really needed there. And I think that Trails End, the food was good. The prices were reasonable, but it was another one of the all you care to eat places. So I think that maybe they were looking to just provide more for the people at the campground, something that's more fitting for them.
Yeah, because you lose a sense of demographic of who's there, because not everybody's going to want to sit down and eat, you know, all you can eat meal. You know, but at least expand that to even if you're salty about not having your all you can eat, you can still grab food. But now everybody can get food.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't love this change. we've stayed there with our travel trailer. And for us, like, it's so easy. The stuff that they make at the quick service, we could do that in the camper. And it was nice to have something more substantial and where we could, like, take a break from the heat and the mosquitoes and actually be waited on. So I don't love this change, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, we had never tried Trails Inn, but I'd heard great things about it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Right. So I am going to touch base a little bit on Disneyland. And so San Francisco Square at Disneyland California Adventure. Disney officials announced on February 20th that the fictional land of Big Hero 6 and Baymax is coming to Disneyland California Adventure this summer as part of the Disney 100th anniversary celebration of the company. San Francisco Square will be a vibrant, multicultural district of neighborhood restaurants and small businesses where you'll be able to eat and shop, wrote Kelsey Lynch, a public relations director at Disneyland, in the official Disney Parks blog. So Walt Disney Imagineering began working on transforming the Pacific Wharf into the fictional mashup city of San Francisco and Tokyo at Disneyland California Adventure shortly after the company announced it at the D23 Expo Disney Convention last summer. So I think that's super cute. I know we have quite a few Baymax fans among us, Cindy Lou Who. So I think that's adorable. I would, you know.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm torn because the eating, the menus and the places they had for quick service and stuff like that on the Pacific Wharf were unique. There's nothing that's the same as that at Disney World. And to be able to go and get like the shrimp roll and things like that, I really liked that there. And they're moving to a fusion style restaurants. Right now, while they're doing the refurbishment, the old menus are still there, but the new menus are going to feature some of the fusion foods and recipes and stuff like that, which I'm sure we'll enjoy. I'm just wondering about for families, how popular right. that will be, where Pacific Wharf was the place to go for families. It was, there was, you know, the Ghirardelli ice cream sundaes and the bread and all that good stuff was on the Pacific Wharf.
Okay. Then I may have misread wrong though, because I thought they were keeping some of that. So
they are during refurbishment.
During refurbishment. Okay.
Yeah. But then they're saying that they will be moving to embrace the San Francisco, Tokyo. Fusion,
yeah, which makes of course world. Makes sense.
Yeah,
but yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to totally switch gears without any kind of segue because I can't come up with one for this. But we're going to hop coasts again, and I'll talk a little bit about some annual pass holder for Walt Disney World updates there. So recently announced. The annual pass holders at Disney World will receive access to Disney PhotoPass lenses and one Cinderella Castle Mural of Memories experience. So that is a little perk that wasn't previously offered. And then additionally, there's a new offering where pass holders can create and share a short Disney-themed video slideshow with their favorite photos from the park. So I'm interested to see what that is. I don't feel like that's like a huge benefit, but nah.
I'm going to need you to do that. And then you can show me how to do that because I probably wouldn't take the initiative to do that on my own.
Yeah. Well, I mean, my phone like creates very nice videos all on its own from our Disney trips and I don't have to do any work. So I don't know how much effort this is going to entail.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine does that too. And I like it. I mean, it already comes with music and everything.
Yes, it's so great. But in addition to the little photo benefits, so as of April 18th, pass holders can now visit a theme park after 2 p.m. without needing a reservation. So the caveat to this is it does not apply to Magic Kingdom on Saturdays and Sundays. But you can get into any of the other three parks on Saturdays and Sundays without that reservation. So I guess if you're local, this is some flexibility, but
I just don't know that this is a huge benefit.
Right. And then I think that if they made a reservation somewhere else, they could still get in the Magic Kingdom after two. Do you think?
Yes, you could still hop. You could still hop.
They just can't roll up. Right. Magic Kingdom.
So you'd have to like make a reservation elsewhere, tap in there at least, and then go over to Magic Kingdom.
Right.
So I think this probably benefits people the most if they are local and they want to do Epcot in the afternoon. And for whatever reason, Epcot is sold out that day. Like, I think that's the big benefit, but it's not a huge game changer.
Yeah. I mean, I could see this where this would be a benefit for Hollywood Studios, maybe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But Epcot and Animal Kingdom, not so much. I mean, not so much just because of the capacity that they can hold. They rarely ever sell out.
Yeah.
Yep.
I agree. All right. Well, speaking of parks, the Epcot Flower and Garden Festival is kicking off March 1st, and it runs through July 5th. The Outdoor Kitchen Menus and Garden Rocks concert lineup have been released. You can find that on the Disney World website or the Disney Parks blog. For the Garden Rocks concerts, they do have a different artist every weekend. So it's a pretty extensive list. Some highlights, though. The first weekend, kicking off March 3rd and 4th, they have Steve Algieri. I might be butchering that. Formerly of Journey. The last weekend, it finishes up with Wang Chung. And sprinkled in, they've got Smash Mouth, Daughtry, Rick Springfield. New this year is Blue Oyster Cult. I mean, they just really run the gamut and have, you know, some type of music for all tastes out there. Lots of returning favorites and a few other new ones as well. So if you are going to be hitting up Epcot somewhere between March 1st and July 5th, definitely check out the Garden Rocks concert lineup. For the outdoor kitchens, huge extensive menu. Some couple highlights that I'm looking forward to is the citrus bake brie at the Citrus Blossom. It's got a lemon marmalade, limoncello, macerated blueberries, and spiced Marcona almonds.
Ooh,
I think that sounds really good. At the Epcot Farmer's Feast, they've got a char-grilled bison ribeye, which has a creamy leek fondue, red wine butter sauce, and whipped red wine goat cheese. And they also have a Ghost Mary, which is a translucent Bloody Mary with cucumber vodka, tomato water, horseradish, celery salt, and a hint of pepper. And then another drink I'm really excited about is just the Grand Cherry Hard Cider at Refreshment Outpost. So it sounds like lots of cheese and alcohol in my future for the upcoming trip. But lots of good things.
Sounds amazing, Jenny.
Right?
I'm there with you on that. I like the idea of that Ghost Bloody Mary one, but they just got to learn that to have some Clamato on for their Canadian fans, because we don't do the tomato juice. We drink all those drinks with Clamato.
I'll have to try that. I do see that in the grocery store here, but I've never actually tried it. They do have, for people that really enjoy like a floral undertone in their beer or cocktails, they've got plenty of those showing up on the menus for the festival, which kind of makes sense since it is a flower and garden festival. I did learn the hard way last year. I apparently am not a fan of flowery liquor. Luckily, I had Murray to save the day and take it off my hands. But
I like some of it, and then sometimes it tastes like hairspray to me. So, like, there's a very fine balance. But
I probably so. I mean, I don't know. Maybe it was just the one I tried, but I'm not eager to try another one anytime soon, I don't think.
Yeah. Jenny, ever since you said Blue Oyster Cult, my brain has been on that Saturday Night Live skit with the More Cowbell, because I think that's the band name.
That's funny. You're right.
I wonder if anyone's going to show up to the park with some cowbell. I think it's only right.
I feel like they have to.
I feel like Clarabelle needs to be on the side of the stage and like, I know you don't like Clarabelle, but let's think about theming. Like, what if she just struts across the stage rocking the cowbell?
I mean, it bring would it all be. Together. They, you know, it's a real opportunity missed if they don't do that. They should.
There and we go.
I just think she's lazy. That's all. She really showed herself in that cartoon.
Okay.
Jenny will not be swayed.
That's right.
Okay, moving on. If you're lazy like me,
or Clarabelle,
you might enjoy a nice place to lay down and put your feet up. And the Drury Plaza Hotel at Orlando has opened. And there's been a lot of talk about this opening because it's the most recent of the Good Neighbor hotels in Disney World. So the good thing is that as an official Walt Disney World hotel, it's within walking distance of Disney Springs. It offers free shuttle service to all four of the Walt Disney World theme parks with no resort fee. They are able to access Walt Disney World's early entry to the parks. In addition, Drury's has complimentary breakfast and a signature 5:30 kickback with evening snacks and cold beverages and free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel. So you're going to get the best of the Disney resort with the free shuttle service and early entry and stuff like that. But you're also getting the free breakfast, which is a Drury thing, and the 5:30 kickback evening, which is like staying at a club level at some of the Disney resorts. So just for the heck of it, I went and took a look. And so in July, the dates per night were $204 per night. And Dolphin was $303, the Swan was $351 for the same night. So it seems like it might be a good option if you're trying to go kind of between a value resort and a Disney Deluxe resort. You might be looking at this Drury Plaza Hotel. Breakfast, free breakfast can mean a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Cindy, where did you say that was?
So it's close to Disney Springs. The address here is, just give me a second.
Well,
it's on
Swan
Lake Drive or whatever.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. I might wind up checking that out if I run out of points.
I was just thinking the same thing.
Yeah, like it seems like it's a beautiful, pool place, kind of resort area. It's got all of those things with it. So it feels like it would be a nice option to, you know, sort of what you'd be getting with the Dolphin and Swan, but even at a little bit more of a reduced cost. So,
yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, we've had some announcements lately on after hours events. So we have a new park that was added to the after hours event lineup, and that is going to be Epcot. So starting on June 1st, there will be availability to attend that after hours event at Epcot. This is something that takes place typically, I think it's for 3 hours after park close, and you can access top attractions, the World Showcase, specialty themed snacks, and photo pass. And I think the big benefit to Epcot is going to be now that is an opportunity to ride Guardians and Remy, which are two rides, especially in peak time, that are challenging to get on.
Yes, that's a really nice benefit.
Yeah, I think so too. In addition to Epcot, they have announced H2O Glow Nights returning to Typhoon Lagoon. So Typhoon Lagoon is closed right now. But it's going to open up this spring, and with that opening, we'll see the return of that H2O glow. So they have specialty-themed menus of snacks and treats, obviously opportunity to ride your favorite attractions, and a DJ dance party. We did an after hours there, the H2O glow, a couple of years ago, and that was billed more with a lot of characters. I didn't see Disney talking about characters in the announcement, but hopefully they will have characters, because I think that was a good draw for that as well. The the DJ dance party we went to had Rex from Toy Story, but he was the Partysaurus Rex version. If you guys have seen, that's favorite short.
Yes, that's fun.
So yeah. We did the Hollywood Studios extra hours event, the extra ticketed event, 2 weeks ago when we were there. And it was an amazing time. It was really well worth the value. We weren't competing with crowds or anything like that for the rides. It was just walk on. Everybody was going through the lightning lane. And basically, if you could run through it, you could basically go on again and again and again on any of the rides. The only thing was, there was really, if you were hungry, because this technically started at 9 and went until midnight, there wasn't a lot of food options. There was a hot dog stand open, and there was the Joffrey's, that kind of thing. But there wasn't a lot of options. There were no sit-down restaurants or any of those. Even the quick service restaurants weren't open. It was just the stands, popcorn stands. Now, there was free popcorn and Mickey bars and frozen fruit bars and pop and or soda or whatever, and water. So with my cooler and my little cooler bag, we actually topped up water in there to do us for the rest of the trip. So filled my cooler bag with water and soda. So that was good, but it was nice to just have. It was beautiful. The day had been hot, and it was. The weather was really nice. We didn't even have to wear a jacket. There was lots of PhotoPass photographers out. We started right at 9 o'clock watching Fantasmic, and then just went on from there. Actually, we did the earlier one, the 8:30 Fantasmic. And so by 9 o'clock, when they were kicking everybody out, we were just ready to start and go and do everything. And we did everything. I rode Mickey and Minnie's twice, and we went to a couple of the shows and stuff. And it was nice. It was a really nice evening. So for the cost, I would say it's really well worth it to look at some of these, especially like we're annual pass holders. So it didn't really save us a ticket price, but if you're considering buying 6-day park tickets or something, and you might want to put it back to a 5-day and buy these tickets, you're going to get way more done, and it's going to be less people around. Plus you're going to be able to have kind of a relaxing day at the pool with the kids, or, you know, even just yourself, have a nap, do some laundry, whatever you want. We thought it was perfect.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Especially just the low crowds alone, I think, make it worth it.
Yeah.
They did not have the characters out, though, for meet and greets. There were no characters.
That's a bummer.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, they do have the current after hours event schedule out through March 27th. And then it looks like they're breaking a little bit in April for those spring break crowds and the Easter crowds. And so these Epcot after hours events will start on June 1st, and they'll run into August. Typhoon Lagoon, I think those are going to start May 20th and run through the summer. And then Hollywood Studios right now, it looks like May 3rd through June 28th. And then if you're interested in purchasing those, hotel guests can purchase those tickets starting on February 28th. And then they'll be open to the general public on March 3rd. But I mean, depending on the park and the date, they are looking at probably between $75 to $149 per person plus tax. So not cheap, but as Cindy alluded to, it might be a great benefit and, you know, something special, especially if you want to maximize that ride time.
All right. So Tron previews are underway. Currently, cast member previews are underway for cast members for the much long anticipated ride Tron. While these previews have been going on for the past 3 weeks, sign-up opportunities were just released for Disney Vacation Club members and annual pass holders for early to mid-March. They have since reached full capacity for registration. Tron officially opens to the public on April 4th and will only be available via virtual queue or lightning lane purchase. Do we have anybody here that is doing the preview?
I'm doing the preview.
Jenny's doing the preview, excited. Y'all. Yep.
Very excited.
Yep. How long did you wait in the queue? I'm curious.
How long did I wait? So I had multiple browsers going.
I heard the DVC one was much better than the AP one.
I want to say maybe 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, that's
I
not mean, bad.
I didn't really wait that too terribly long.
Right.
Yeah. I was hearing like 3+ hours from some pass holders.
Yeah. Pass holders. So, yep, that's exciting. So,
yeah.
Well, you'll have to report back so that I know whether to take the bow nine before we hop on it in July.
You know, reports are saying it's very smooth and that it's like,
well, Guardians is smooth. Okay. But Guardians is smooth. True. But man, it about took me out last time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know when Callahan and I wrote it back to back. Yeah. That was a bit rough.
Yeah. So
I could see it running when we were just there, but it was interesting. So for the cast member preview, I think they were like letting people enter somehow that queue for the pass, or I'm sorry, for the cast member at Transportation and Ticket Center, and then bringing them backstage, because there was no visible entry to Tron area. Like, it was blocked by movable shrubbery. And I had heard from some people who were a part of that cast member that it was all backstage for that piece. But I guess I got to see it run, I guess.
Yeah. We rode the train for the first time and we got to see it run.
There you go. So,
yeah. I definitely want, if we're going to do it once in our upcoming July Epcot family vacation, I do want to do it at night, but I guess I'm not going to be too picky as to whatever time slot we get with the virtual queue.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, me either.
Directions for us are that we have to check in at like the main entrance to the park.
Okay.
You can't go straight to the ride. Mm-hmm. They said if you show up at the ride without checking in at the main entrance, they're going to send you back. So
interesting. Well, you'll have to report back, Jenny.
Yeah,
I will. All right. Leading off from, well, there really is. Well, maybe, I don't know. Sci-fi. I don't know.
Yeah. What do you have?
The Mandalorian
there we go.
Season 3 is kicking off March 1st on Disney Plus. So, Star Wars fans, it's finally back. And great news, according to Variety, the series creator Jon Favreau says there are currently no plans to end the series. And he also went on to confirm that the fourth season has already been written. Season 3 will be 8 episodes long. And I know there were some people concerned with the way season 2 ended that maybe there would be no Grogu in season 3. But it sounds like everybody's favorite Baby Yoda will be back. So,
oh, you're going to get it for that, Jenny, I think.
Why?
Baby Yoda.
Yeah, everybody's going to correct you.
For all of our purists. Yeah,
you did. You did in the beginning.
I have one happy husband. He cannot wait. And so like 3 weeks ago, he decided he was going to rewatch the first and second seasons. I said, don't you think you need to wait a little bit closer? He goes like, no, it's going to take me, you know, it'll take me a little while to get through. I think he was through all the two seasons in 3 days. So...
Well, anybody remember when seasons used to be like 27 episodes long?
Yeah, like eight. We get eight. Now, we understand. We understand a lot goes into the production of these, but eight, you know, like give me a good 16, 16 episodes. Yeah. I know.
But I'll take what I can get. Like, it is my favorite Star Wars, I guess, show. So I'm very excited.
Yeah.
Nice.
Well, something else that's got a whole bunch of people very excited is that Happily Ever After and Epcot Forever are returning. April 3rd at 9 p.m. will be the first shows. So that's the fireworks for Magic Kingdom and the nighttime spectacular for Epcot. Neither one of the current ones were very popular, although, and I was neither here nor there with Enchanted at Magic Kingdom. I really do like Happily Ever After. I'm looking forward to that coming back. But Harmonious, I loved. I absolutely thought that was the best show I've ever seen. And I know I'm one of the few on that. So I am kind of sad to see it go. I'm wearing my Harmonious Spirit jersey today in support. But I will enjoy Epcot forever as well. I just have to go on YouTube to watch Harmonious.
I'm with you, Cindy. I really like Harmonious. And I think for me, what made me like it as much as I do is I think it did such a good job of including Disney stories from other cultures and helping to feel everybody. Not that Illuminations didn't, but was just done in a more fun, interactive way. We watched it for the first time with a family next to us that absolutely went wild when Coco came out. And that was just so special to see them represented that way. So I have a soft spot in my heart for Harmonious as well.
Yeah.
We still never, I don't want to say had a chance to see it. We just never saw it. But I'm sad for Cindy and Jen.
Yeah.
I am.
Same.
I'm sad for Cindy.
Same.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. So my last thing that I have is new family-friendly entertainment at Disney Springs Kids Club. So while I got excited when I first saw this because I was thinking Kids Club. When I think Kids Club, I'm thinking Disney Cruise Lines, and I'm not going to see my kid for the entire day. But that is not the case. So you cannot leave them unattended. They will not keep your kids. So Disney Springs Kids Club, a brand new entertainment offering designed for the whole family to enjoy together that began late January. It will take place at Waterview Park at Disney Springs, which is located between the Boathouse and Jock Lindsay's, every Saturday morning starting at 10:30. So the family-friendly acts will vary each week, and new entertainment will frequently be added to the lineup. Pick up bongos, maracas, and more while you play and dance along in the drum circle, or boogie down with the flight crew jump rope at a high-energy dance party featuring dazzling jump rope routines and thrilling acrobatics. Rounding out the current Disney Springs Kids lineup, DJ Katie Queen will bring her signature flair to the stage, hosting games, sing-alongs, and more. So I'm thinking like Boardwalk at Night, you know, except and cast members at the pool, you know what I mean?
Yes.
At the pool. Mm-hmm. And the resort pools kind of mixed together. Probably it didn't say, or I couldn't find how long it lasts. I'm thinking like an hour or two, or like when you take your child to the library and they have like toddler, like mommy baby time or you know, so it's just like that. So unfortunately, you cannot leave your kids here. You know, they will not keep your kids all day while you go gallivanting around the parks. But I do think it's something nice that they're doing. And I understand it's probably in an effort to bring more people to Disney Springs to persuade them to shop and eat around Disney Springs. But we welcome all the new things.
I think it's a great idea because lots of times there's families that come and they've got a 6-day trip and they've bought the 4-day park tickets. Mm-hmm. And then they're saying, well, what should we do? And to have some entertainment at Disney Springs and not just be shopping
and eating,
that kind of thing. But also the more entertainment, the better. I love Animal Kingdom where the entertainers are around every corner. There's somebody playing music and drums, and there's places for your kids to go and play the drums and do different things and stuff like that. So that's a big part of my love for Animal Kingdom. Hollywood Studios the same way. So I think that I don't think it'll just be the kids that'll be standing around watching this at
either. I agree. Yep, I agree. So if I know anything about Jen Bachman, she's going to be right out there in the middle of it.
I mean, maybe.
And you could leave somebody in line for Gideon's to go get your cookies while
there you go. Now you're
in the thinking. Entertainment, watching the entertainment.
Or a Wetzel pretzel.
Well, then you can enjoy the whole entertainment suite, right? While you wait on your pretzel.
Right.
All right. Well, I've got a few items that are just, you know, I put them in my other category. So I'll run through them real quick. So guys, Genie Plus sold out for the first time ever. So I wanted to make sure we talked about that. It was February 9th, which I think it was the convergence of like President's Day crowds plus Mardi Gras. And then schools in the Northeast tend to have like winter break that week too. So they sold out. It was a Sunday. And the pricing at that point was $29 plus tax. So
whew.
Yeah. And it sold out. And then the following day on President's Day, it sold out for the second time. Now, that time it didn't sell out till like 1:30 in the afternoon, which if you're not buying Janie till 1:30 in the afternoon, I really don't know that it's worth it.
You just wasted your money.
Right.
You just wasted.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So, and I want to say, Jen, that was the weekend we were there. So it was February 17th. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So it was pretty, it was very, very busy.
Yeah.
But I still think it was manageable.
I do
but
too.
I really, yeah. I do think Jenny Plus plays a big part into that because just looking around. So my family did Slinky Dog Dash and we were in the Lightning Lane queue, but they had a 2 hour wait for Slinky Dog. So usually that line would be going out of Toy Story Land, but it wasn't. It was like right at the entrance point. So that shows how many Genie Plus reservations, how many people that they're letting through. If you only have that minimal of a line in the standby queue and it's a 2 hour wait.
Yeah.
So
we actually saw people as we were in the Lightning Lane as well going through, and somebody was complaining about how many people were being put through the Lightning Lane. And one of the young guys like was maybe 20 or whatever. And he turned around. He's like, you can buy Lightning Lane too. Right. And so people were kind of like, well, I shouldn't have to. But I mean, that's the reality. And I think people it are is. Accepting that, mm-hmm. that this is going to be a cost of going to Disney. And if they don't want to be in a 3 hour line, maybe it's worth $30 a day for each of them.
I think that you have to prepare to buy it now.
Yeah, yeah. I would agree.
I think we were approaching when Genie Plus was first offered that you could really, I mean, you can still choose whether you want to get it or not, but like, I don't know.
If half of the park is going through ahead of you, you're going to wait.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, you really will.
Yeah.
The nice thing is you don't have to buy it for everybody in your group. Like if I'm there and I'm not riding a bunch of rides, they don't have to buy Genie Plus for me. I don't have to buy Genie Plus. And everybody can still go on the rides.
Right. And you don't have to do it every day.
You can choose which park that you want to buy it for. But, you know, we don't often talk about Universal here, but I see they're doing that for Hagrid's and VelociCoaster now. You can buy a front of the line pass for their, and I think they're charging $80 for it. So that's where it's just that you're picking one ride instead of buying the express pass for the whole thing. So
for $80?
$80, yes. Wow.
For one ride?
Wow. For one ride.
I thought VelociCoaster was being included into Max Pass.
It is now, but if you don't want to buy the $300, because now it's up to
$289
for an express pass. So if you're there and your kid just wants to ride Hagrid's or just wants to ride VelociCoaster, it's going to make or break the day. You can buy a one-time front-of-the-line pass for that.
Yeah.
I think it's $79 something for an adult. And
I think I would. I would wait the 2 hours for that, maybe for $80. I don't know.
Five hour lineup at Hagrid's yesterday.
Oof. Nope.
Wow.
We would not have been doing Hagrid's, but I understand. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So that's big news for Genie Plus. And then I think news that's going to impact Genie Plus usage or the success you'll have with it is Rock and Roller Coaster is now down for refurb. So as of February 21st, it is temporarily closed. What's interesting about this is it's a multi-month refurbishment, and they didn't give a lot of details as to what they're doing. There's a lot of speculation about them removing Aerosmith, but I have seen some statements from Disney that said basically like the ride experience will remain similar or unchanged. So I just don't know that they're doing anything other than fixing. That ride has a lot of technical issues, and especially here as of late, like we've seen it go down for the majority of a day multiple times. So we'll see what happens there. But I do think that ride being down, like that's a huge hit to the attractions at Hollywood Studios. And if you do purchase Genie Plus, you know, which was already, you were struggling by midday to book things. That's even worse. You're
taking that of the equation. You know what I mean? Yeah. So now everybody's fighting for Tower of Terror and Slinky Dog.
Yes.
You know, Mickey and Minnie's, Toy Story Midway Mania. I mean, yeah. Obviously there's a few more, but yeah.
Yeah.
The sad thing is there's usually somebody in your group that's the planner, and it's not me. It's my daughter. She plans everything. And so when we do that, she's the one that's up at 7 getting the passes. She's the one that's, you know, even though if we don't plan to go to the park till 11, she's up buying.
Backing them.
Yeah. Early in the morning, up at midnight or whatever, buy the pass, and then up at 7 and start getting the rides and stuff. So it is kind of sad that way, because somebody does have more responsibility in the group, and that's usually the someone that's already taking on a lot of responsibility in the group. So
I think a lot of us are the planners in our family, so we can relate. But
I'm planning on doing the stacking method for us on our arrival day. Just so that way, you know, we're not behind the curve when we get to a park in the afternoon. So
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, I did that one of the days I was there last week, Jenny. We had actually had a lot of success. So I was in Epcot in the morning and had grabbed, I think we grabbed a test track and was able to do that. And then as soon as we read it, we switched over to Hollywood Studios and started stacking. So I was able to grab Tower, Toy Story, Midway Mania, and Slinky Dog, and then was able to then stack Magic Kingdom attractions after that because they were open till 11. So there are tricks. Yes, I walked like 30,000 steps that day, but
wow,
you know, if you're up for it, there are ways to do it.
So it lets you like just switch them when you're doing the stacking.
Yes, it does. Okay. Yeah,
I haven't stacked before.
Yeah,
but I'm going to try it out.
So it won't give you availability till after 2 o'clock for the second park.
Okay.
But it will let you switch to the second park to start choosing rides.
Good to know.
Yeah. So if it's like 10 a.m. and you want something in Hollywood Studios, then it like they're not, those times are like 5, 6 o'clock at night. There's no problem, even though it's not 2 o'clock. Getting those, but you wouldn't be able to switch to another park prior to 2.
Okay.
Yeah.
Sweet. Well,
I think that is it for the news. Great show, ladies. I enjoyed catching up with
you. One thing I was curious about, maybe I'll just stick in here, is now that a few people more than me have been using the Magic Band Plus, anybody up to do a little bit of a review on them? See how they feel about them now that we've used them a couple of times at the parks, because the last time we talked, most of you hadn't really used the Magic Band Plus. So you either were still with the Magic Bands or you weren't using them at all. How do we feel about them now?
So I will say that my kids really got a kick out of when they buzzed, like when we got off of Ratatouille and it had the French flag. And then they were going bananas at Fantasmic. And so they really loved them. And I'm trying to remember, they were going to try and do the Bounty Hunter. Is that the Bounty Hunter game? But for some reason, we couldn't get it to work. And I think it's because we couldn't download you have to download the app as well on your phone. Is that right? Yeah. And so myself and my husband both have that same, you know, the same Magic Band, but I like wearing the puck holder on my Apple Watch. So I just ordered a new style puck holder to hold the, you know, the Magic Band Plus so that I can just slide it right on there. So I think obviously I'll have hopefully a true review in July.
Yeah.
So, having to charge them every night is kind of a bummer. But it'll still work as a Magic Band, of course. It just won't be interactive. So,
yeah, I agree with the charging piece. Like, that's a lot, especially, and I don't know how like big families do it in general, but we have like 4 chargers that we have to find locations for in the room. And so I used it, I think, for the second time this last week, but for the first time, like doing nighttime entertainment. And that part is fun. There were a lot of times that mine would just like light up and buzz, and it felt like I was wearing my watch, and I'm like, what is even happening? Like, it was just, it was distracting more than anything else.
Yeah.
I didn't get to do that Bounty Hunter game either, but I did try out the new DuckTales game in Epcot.
Oh,
and that is super cute. I didn't do all the missions, but I tested out a few just to see how it would go.
So I've increased the sensitivity on mine when I set it up, because I did want it to interact with the statues and all that kind of stuff. And it's fun. It's just a lot of fun to have it. And sometimes you see things you didn't know were there or whatever, you go and examine them. But with the increased sensitivity, they're lasting me about 6-7 hours in the park. So I have to take a spare one with me.
Oh, wow.
So that I can switch over. Tough. Not that, I mean, like they do still work as a regular magic band after they die. But if I want to have the interaction then at Fantasmic or at the fireworks, I want to have a Magic Band Plus. So I've been just carrying, so that's two you get to charge a night per person. So I wouldn't have to have the sensitivity set right to the max, but I like it to interact. So that's what I've been doing. And I'm enjoying them.
Yeah.
I'm a fan. They're crazy expensive, but then Brittany went to buy ears that were $39.99 just for a regular set of ears on our last trip. So the prices have gone up. So these are $44.99 for most of them. So the Magic Band Plus. Yeah.
I feel like though it's Disney, right? It's just Disney money. We just pay it.
If you don't spend it on something, you're going to spend it on something else.
So. True.
Exactly.
It's true. All right, Cindy, you want to take us home?
I will. Thank you very much, everybody, for joining us and for my co-hosts. And also, we want to thank our sponsors, DVC-Rental and buyandselldvc.com for the awesome sponsorship of this show. And what we would like to say is bippity boppity boo from all of us at the Royal Court Review to you. We wish you magic and pixie dust until we see you again.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.